Okay, this year is dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas Rochel Leia Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi. We are going now to begin a shir which is entitled Asara Klolim, which is a Ksav Yad, a manuscript. Officially, it's listed as Ksav Yad Yerushalayim, Vinograd number 1, and it's 8 pages, size 18.5 times 22.5 centimeters. At the beginning of the Ksav Yad, it says, Masha Matzasi Bekuntras Hagroa. That, in other words, that in fact, actually, this is actually attributed to the Groa, the Ksav Yad, and the Ksav Yad of 10 Klolim represents a panorama of the Goyin's vision of Kabbalah, the entire Ilan HaKadosh, the entirety of Jewish philosophy, as we will see in Mirtz Hashem. Okay, so we're going to go line by line. The manuscripts were, I think, the text was submitted already. And we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Chafei, beginning Aleph. The Gro begins as follows. Klal Godol Batera. Okay, the first line is Masha Matzasi Bekuntas HaGrozal, what I have found in the Kuntras, the manuscript of the Groa, Be'ezras Hashem, Aleph. Klal Godlo Batera is a general klal, a general rule in the Torah. Shekol ma shedibru kol hamekubalim, v'chol ha'tera kula, everything which the mekubalim speak about, and the rest of the Torah, in other words, probably teras hanister and teras hanigla, Hakol b'rotzoino is borach. Everything is spoken from the standpoint of rotzoino, Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, hashkachosoi, his providence, upu'ulosoi, and his action. So the Gro'ah reduces things that everything in the Torah speaks from the standpoint of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's rotzoin, his will, his hashkacha, his providence, upu'ulosoi, his actions. V'loi dibru chas v'shalom, but nothing in the Mekubalim, and certainly not in the Torah, nothing is spoken chas v'shalom b'atzmusa yizborach klal v'klal. Nothing is referring directly to God in and of himself. But rather, in fact, everything is speaking about b'rotzoinoi. And then the Gro'ah goes on, we're not going to actually go into this in detail tonight, v'yav gam b'rotzoinoi hu be'elchoi kamo shu bilti tachlis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzoin, of course, it's always relative to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which from our standpoint is infinite, right? And in fact, the Goy goes on and speaks about what's the purpose of the creation, what the purpose of Ritzonai, the Tzimtzum, etc., etc. All of these are topics in the Perek Aleph. But in any case, the Goy here is making a basic antinomy between HaKadosh Baruch Hu in and of himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzon, his Hashkocha, and his Pa'ulos, meaning his will, his Hashkocha, his providence, and his actions. Now, the fact that we can't speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all seems, in fact, to refer to the Rambam of the Moreh Nevuchim, there in Chelek Aleph, in the first section of the Moreh Nevuchim, from chapters 50 until about 68, I usually consider it 50 until 68, there the Rambam develops his theory of what's called negative theology, that one cannot make any positive statement about God. The Rambam also repeats this in the, or he also says like this in Yesod Yatir, in Perek Beis. However, the Gro'ah for sure is not going entirely in accordance with the Shittas HaRambam. Because according to the Rambam, one can only speak about God's actions, which would correspond to what the Gro'ah says is Pulasai. However, the Rambam, of course, explicitly in Perek in chapter 69 in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam says, interestingly enough, that Ritzoinoi hu atzmusoi. The Rambam identifies God's will with his essence, that which he is in and of himself. That's another topic, but clearly from that we see that the Gro'ah is not following entirely the Rambam's negative theology, because he is attributing, in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions, he is speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence, his Hashkocha, and his Rotzoin. So the question is, what is the Makor, what is the source of the Gro'ah for understanding that there is this antinomy between God in and of himself and God in terms of his providence, in terms of his rotzen, and his will, and his actions. So in fact, it would seem that this lashon, this language of antinomy, we do not find neither in the Rambam, nor in any of the Jewish medieval philosophers, any of the Rishonim. The first hint of something which would indicate as to this understanding of our relationship to God would appear actually at first to be elaborated and discussed in the Eitz Chaim of the Arizal. There in the Arizal, which is one of the Maram Makabes, one of the sources which I actually send to you, the Arizal says in the very beginning of the Eitz Chaim, I'm saying the Arizal is really Rab Chaim Vital who wrote down the Shulma of the Arizal, but we're attributing everything to the Arizal. The Arizal, we have to stand, lived in the 16th century. The Gra is in the 18th century. But there the Arizal says in the Eitz Chaim, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, says the Ari, Be'inyan Tachlis HaKavana Shabriyas HaYilamois. The purpose of the creation of all of the worlds, when the Ari says the world, he's speaking not only about the physical world, but also the spiritual worlds. Navara Ata Shnei Chakirois. We're now going to delve into two investigations. Shnei Asku Behem Mukubalim. Mr. Mukubalim have dealt with. Chakira Rishayna. The first Chakira, the first investigation, says the Ari, Huma Shechoku Chachamim B'Rishayna V'Achroinim. Is that which the earlier Chachamim and the later ones, Ladas Sibas Brias Oilamais. What's the reason for the creation of all the worlds? Le'eza Siba Hoysa. For what reason were the worlds created? Venimnu Vagromu Vagozu. And they decided, Oimer, to say, Kisibas Hadava. The reason HaKadosh Baruch created the worlds, Hayalafi, Shine Hu Yisbach Buchach Shiashalim Bechopu Loisab Chachoysav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, has to be perfect, right, in all of his actions and in all of his powers, uvachol shemaisav, and all of his name, shal gadul of greatness, umayla, right, and attributes for covet and honor. Ve'im lo haya maitzi pulaisav chakoisav lidei poyel, umaisa, if in fact his actions are not realized, practically, lo haya kiviyachol nikwa shalem, then a kodesh baruch hu cannot be called perfect, right? I will try to slow down a little bit. Yishar koyach, thank you very much for the ha'ora. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, does not act in the world, then we cannot attribute perfection, right, to any of his actions. Lo b'pu loisov, we cannot attribute perfection to any of his actions. V'lo b'shemosov, he cannot, will not be complete in terms of any of his names, v'kinuyav, etc. And the Arizal says, Kinei Hashem HaGadol Shu Ben Abba Oisius, the name of God, which is four letters, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Nikra-Kei. God is called by the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Al-Hoyrois Hav-Yosoi Hanitzchis V'Kiyimu La'at, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu exists eternally. And that means that Yud-Kei Vav-Kei designates Hoya Hoiva V'Yir. God was, God is, and God will be. Terem Abriya, during the time of the creation, before the creation, it was man kiyam abriya, and during the time of the creation, v'achrei hisapcho el mashahoya, and when the creation is done with, whatever it will be when it's done. So says the Ari, v'im loy nivru ha'ilamos, if none of the worlds were created, v'chol asher behem lo yuchal lirois, amisas ha'irosoi, ha'v'yosoi yisborach, ha'nitzchis ba'ovah v'ahovah v'asit, in other words, if God did not create a world, then his timelessness, that fact that he is Haya Haiva V'yiyah, could never be expressed. V'chein Shem Adnus, also too, the name of God, Adnus. Nikra Akein Al Hayroz Adnus Hayosli Avodim, the word Adonai of HaKadosh Baruch Hu designate that we are his servants, we, his creations, are his servants. V'hu Adon Aleim. And he is our master. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu did not create people, lo yuchol likare b'shem Adon, he would not be called a master. V'alder zeh b'shal shem es kulam, and etc. with all other names of God. V'chein b'inyan hakinuyim kegoin rachum v'chanun, Kadosh Baruch Hu is designated to be merciful, compassionate, el chapayim, he doesn't get angry. Kadosh Baruch Hu can never be called compassionate if there were not people who can to whom they would attribute compassion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Ari, Amnon, V'yos ha'olamos nivroim, but since the worlds now have been created, as yatzu puloisa v'kaychasa v'yizbach l'day poyel, so his actions now are imminent. In other words, he acts in the world, right? V'yanikwa shalem b'chol minei puloisa v'kaychasa, and now he's called perfect, shalem. He's completed. In all of his actions, all of his powers, v'gam yeshalem b'chol ha'shembus v'kinuyim bilti shem chisoren klal chas v'shalem. And then he brings a Zoya. Okay, now what is the Ari saying? The Ari is saying a very interesting thing. The Ari says that since God has to, by definition, be complete in all of his names and all of his actions, if he did not create a world, then this completion could never be expressed. In other words, God cannot be complete neither in his attributes nor in his actions unless he creates a world. What is the consequence of the Ari? A consequence of the Ari is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to create the world in order to complete himself. We come now here with a basic contradiction. Is God not complete in and of himself? God is not in need of a creation in order to be complete. A basic postulate, certainly of all medieval, all of Jewish philosophy before the Ari, is God is complete in and of himself. God, there's nothing missing from God that he needs to complete, that he needs to create in order to complete himself. So there is much discussion as to what the Ari means. And there are some commentators, there are some Mefarshim who claim to make all different types of, I guess, intellectual or syllogistic somersaults in order to try to explain somehow that it's really complete, but it's not complete. All different types of strange plays on language. The fact is that we see 100 years later that the Ramchal, even though he's not directly referring to the Ari, in several places in the Ramchal, the place which I'm going to read from is from Das Tevunos, and this is in Simen Mem Vav in the Friedlander edition. The Ramchal here, let's see. Right, in other words, no, that nothing would not exist without people. Kadosh Baruch Hu would exist. Someone's asking the question, does that mean that Hashem would not exist as Yud Kei Vav Kei without people? The Ari doesn't say that, but the Ari says he would not be complete. We cannot say he's timeless. We cannot say he is Haya Haiva V'yir, exists before the world, during the world and after the world, unless he created a world. But for sure, there must be some, I would imagine, some supernal, transcendental meaning of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But the fact is that Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is an expression which requires the existence of time and the world in order to be expressed properly. Now, so let me read from the Das Tevunos of the Ramchal. The Ramchal says, this is Simen Mem Vav in the Das Tevunos, Daf Lamed Gimel. Hinei anachnu ro'im chukim mishpotim, we see different laws, asher yizbach shemoyim esnagi b'mimanu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses as he relates to us. Anachnu nevrov, we are his creations. Midos udrochem, tzadikim kasher gozre oime chachbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has designed for us. And therefore, we have all these midos. And Daf Lamed Dalet, I'm turning the page in the Das Tevunos. Rachum Chanun Gibor, V'chol Sha'ar Kinuyim Harabim Asher Nishach Suloi. In other words, we have different attributes of God. Rachum, merciful, compassionate. Gibor is brave, strong. And other Kinuyim, other attributes of God, which we attribute to him. Anam kan tzrichem anu lahavid, uladas, emun v'dais, v'dais. In other words, we have to understand as a very basic fact of our belief, sheyesh lanu lahamim b'chol zeh, ki lo yo'osu kol ha'to'oreh b'kinuyim ha'elu eilav yisbach l'fi atzmo klal ikar. None of these attributes refer to God at all. Ba'asher ein kol ha'pu'ulos ha'elu pu'ulos yifol hu yisbarach. These are not actions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does kasher yifal ish l'fi tiva v'koichai, as any person would do. Elakulam inyanim shenilzu mirtzoynoi lasois l'fi erach hanevroim shirotz levroi. But all of these actions are actions that come out of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Lotzoi, right? In accordance, in relationship to his creations. So here we have a very, very, right? And in fact, he says, regarding the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? It's forbidden to us to even be choike, to even think about speaking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. We have here in the Ramchal a very, very important yesod. I believe it's the first time this is mentioned in history. And it seems to me that for sure, the Ramchal here is actually an interpretation of the Ari. That is to say, that we do not speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We speak about his Rotzoin. Perhaps his actions, his Hashkocha, because the Ramchal does use the word Hashkocha here, or his Rotzoin. In other words, what the Ramchal is saying is that there's an irreducible dichotomy, an antinomy, between God in and of himself, and God as he relates to the world. And in fact, given the fact that this appears to be the Ramchal's interpretation of the Ari, because we know that the Ramchal, Das Tevunos, is following the Eis Chaim of the Ari. So the basic line is, the basic fact is that what the Ari is coming to tell us is that why did God create the world? The answer is, we cannot really answer the question as far as God is concerned in and of himself. We can only answer the question relative to the way God relates to us. Why did God create the world? That question can only be answered relative to God's Rotzoin, to the way God relates to us. So we have here an irreducible antinomy between God in and of himself and God as relates to the world. And that's the Ramchal's understanding of the Ari. It would seem to me that this is a very rational and sensible understanding of the Ari, but in fact the Ari does not use this language, he doesn't use this nosach, he doesn't express it as such, but the fact is, this is what in fact the Ramchal understood the Ari to be saying. This interpretation of the Ari, I said, is inherent in the Ramchal. The Ramchal does not say explicitly he's interpreting the Ari as such, but in fact the Leshem, who we're going to use very, very much, because we're going to explain, Amir Tashem will speak about it in future Shi'urim, that the Leshem understood himself to be an important philosopher who went Beshitas HaGoyin in the Kabbalah. But the Leshem, in the Chedek HaBi'urim of his Sefer Leshem Shevo V'Yachlama, the Leshem lived at the end of the 19th century. I think he might have lived into the beginning of the 20th century. The Leshem there is actually a perush, a commentary on the Ari. And there, the Leshem says, I'm reading now from the Chedek HaBi'urim, it's Daf Aleph, it's in the second column, it's in the third paragraph. V'naschil v'noima, the Leshem says, we're now going to explain the Ari. Kinei anu mafchinen b'yizboch shemoi, then we speak about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we speak about Gimel Havchonois. Can you clarify where Ramchal distinguishes between God himself and his actions, Rotzoi? That is clear in the Ramchal. If you look in the Ramchal says clearly in Daf Lamed Dalet, is that we're not speaking about God. Ki lo ya'isu kol ha'ta'orim, all his attributes, are not speaking lefi atzma klal ve'ika. Not speaking about him at all, right? Ela kulam in yodim shenirtzu miltzoinai. They're all coming from his Rotzoi. That the Ramchal says explicitly, I'm quoting him, in Daf Lamed Dalet in Rabbi Friedlander's edition. You cannot be more explicit than that. Now, let's look at the Leshem. The Leshem says, there are Gimel Havchonois. There's a trichotomy. Okay? Echad Hu, the first level, this is the Leshem now, interpreting the words of the Gra. Atzmusoi amisosoi hanelamet yisbach asher b'yois, right? In other words, God's atzmus. B'yois hakol hu bakol, ukamoi koidim abriya, v'kolol atzmusoi bakol mini shleimus, Kodesh Baruch is perfect in of himself, uvachom mini shevach, hakol b'yachdus poshet, everything is total unity. Lachen b'shulo milatar olav shum shevach amayla, Kodesh Baruch in of himself, it's impossible to speak of any attribute. Ki hakol atzmusis boy, because everything is God. There's no attribute of God. Ve'ein davar boy noisaf al atzmus. Achdusoy, there's nothing to be added to his unity. Hapshuter, his simple unity. Hashlem, which is perfect in and of itself. Ve'ein shum dibu umila b'maladavar boy. You can't even speak about him. Ve'ein shum rayon. Ve'seichel tfoisay so. No one could even think about it, conceive him. And he quotes the Meir Nevuchim. He quotes the Meir Nevuchim. Right? Harambam, b'Meir Nevuchim, chelek Aleph, he quotes Perek, Nun Aleph, Nun Beis, Nun Gimel. The Kosov Agra b'Likuta. By the way, Derech Agav, the Leshem, who we're going to speak about, saw himself as, in fact, the main follower of the Gra. In fact, quotes the Meir Nevuchim, right? Almost as much as he quotes the Goyin or quotes the Arizal. And now he quotes the Goyin in Likutim. Shigamahira Asaba, you can't even think about attributing attributes to him. Now, that's the first Bechina of the Lashon, of the Arizal. So that goes on the Lashon. I'm in the last paragraph in Daf Aleph. Bechinas Hasheni Su Aliyas Ritzoyne Lizgalois. God's will to reveal himself. Umitzyusu Oisei Rarotzoin Anumetarim Oisei Vekoin Oisei B'Shem Giloi. In other words, from his Ratzoin to reveal himself, right? So this we call, right? We describe him, and we call him B'Shem Giloi. Ki kicholis is Baruch Shemai, b'cheptzai k'shurav v'atzoin l'izgalai, is Kodesh Baruch Hu desires to be revealed. Hareyu atzmoi ha-giloi, k'nizgala me'amisosi ha-nelma, b'mitzios ha-ratzoin l'izgalai. So basically, the second level is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzoin. Now, the fact is that the Leshem actually creates what's called a trichotomy. Habachina Shlishis, the third level, says the Leshem, now on Daf Aleph Amud Beis on the first column, the second paragraph of the first column, Hu Gilo Yizbach Hashem Nizgala B'Shmoy HaGadol, this is the name of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Leshem actually, which we'll speak about maybe another time, Yetz Hashem, actually creates three levels. I call it a trichotomy. And the names of the Kodesh Baruch Hu are actually in the third level, which are the Giluyim, the revelations of his names. The Tzimtzum, the Leshem learns, is going, as we'll speak about him, Hashem, not tonight, will actually be in the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which corresponds exactly to what the Gros says here in Perek Aleph. So what do we have? We have here the two great interpreters of the Yari, right? The Leshem and the Ramchal, both understanding that the Yari's Chakira, the Ari's investigation as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world necessitates our understanding that there is an irreducible antinomy between God in and of himself, which is the God of the Rambam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, his will, and of course the Rambam allowed action, so the Goyin actually added Pulaisav, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha, which we'll see actually the Goyin added too. But these are Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways of relating to the creation. So there's God in and of himself, and God as he relates to the creation. Okay, now, it's rather interesting that regarding this relationship between the Rambam's negative theology and the Gra, the Leshem himself says in his Sefer HaDamas HaSha'arit, and I'm quoting from a new edition, which Jake Greenberg gave me. If Jake, you're listening, Yishak Koyach, you gave me this sefer as a present. And in Likut Gimel, at the very end of the Leshem, page 218, I'm going to call this the Greenberg edition because it seems to be a new print. The Leshem says in the very last paragraph, Vada, you should know, Ki kol divrei haRambam b'Meira, all the words of the Rambam in the Meir Nevuchim, Hamadaber b'achdusa yizborg shemai, that speak about God's unity. That means Rambam's negative theology, because God, Rambam does not allow us to give attributes of God because of God's absolute unity. Hine l'das b'kubolim havikoza b'atzmutzi atzmai asher l'mayla mi'atzimtzum. This is above the tzimtzum. In other words, this is above the tzimtzum, before the tzimtzum. And he speaks about the Rambam as being Kodesh Kadoshim, Umi Kamoya, who's like the Rambam, who teaches us about God's Achdusa Yapshuta, his absolute and simple unity. Ach Pe'inyan Giluyav, but in terms of God's revelations, how he reveals himself, Ashilatsoyach HaMetzioyis, Kulai, he has to reveal himself to his creations, Ashebazet nitan atel Yisrael. For this reason, the Torah was given to the Jewish people. V'shamu kol tami atel kula, the reasons of the Torah. Shamu sibas kol anhoga kula, the reasons for Kodesh Baruch Hu's direction of the world, His providence. B'chol talu chaseh umaraiseh, all the events. Asher miyoyim b'roi Hashem Adam ala oaz, from the time Kodesh Baruch Hu created men on the world. Okay, this is in fact actually after the Tzimtzum. So we have actually, according to the Leshem, before the Tzimtzum, the Maila min Tzimtzum. That's the Rambam's concept of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's his negative theology. The Arizal, of course, who was Bechadesh, the concept of Tzimtzum which Yisrael will speak about, that is speaking about, namely, the Kodesh Baruch Hu as he relates to the world, and that is the Chiddush of the Ari. Okay, now, why have I gone into this? I've gone into this for the following reason. This gives us a background with which we can understand the words of the Gra. Namely, the Gra is following in the tradition of the Ramchal. The Leshem, of course, is following in the tradition of the Gra. I brought the Leshem as just a proof or a what you would call a raya, in order just that we should understand that the Leshem understood this to be the interpretation of the Ari, and for sure, since he brought the Goyim, the Likutim, I don't know if you ever saw the Sar Klalim, he would have understood this to be the Goyim Shita too. And that's what the Goyim is saying. Klal Gadol Bateira, right? That in fact, actually, there's a general rule in the Torah. Shekol Ma Shedibru Kol HaMekubalim. That which all the Mekubalim spoke about. Now, who are the Mekubalim? That's the Arizal. That's the Arizal. Lamaisa, that could be the Ramchal too. V'chol HaTeira Kula. The Leshem speaks about that the Torah was given Birtzoinai. Hakol Birtzoinai is Borach. That's all the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Birtzoinai. Uvashka Chosoi. And with his Hashkacha, Upulosoi. And his actions, his promises and actions. V'loi Dibru Chas V'Sholom B'Yatzmusvo is Borach Klal V'Klal. In other words, no one is speaking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu in and of himself. A Kodesh Baruch Hu in and of himself, that cannot be spoken about. What we speak about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the standpoint of his Ratzon, Hashkach, and Pulasin. There's an antinomy, a dichotomy, the way I explained. Now, what's interesting is I want to focus a little bit on the three words that the Goyim uses. I already referred to the fact that Kol HaMekubalim appears to be a reference to the Arizal. Kol HaTeira Kula is like the Leshem says, because the Kabbalah is only the Tamei HaTeira. So just like the Tamei HaTeira are speaking Mitzad Mitzoynoi, Kalvachoyme ben Kalvachoyme, the Torah which is revealed to us, not the hidden, but the revealed part of the Torah, is also speaking Mirutzoyne. Now, the Goyim uses Ritzoynoi, Hashkechosoi, Upulasoi. Why does he use these three verbs? I know we're being medaic in the Gra, but I'm sure that the Gra, having written this short piece, I'm sure he was very, very careful what he was writing. First of all, Pulasoi, in Pulasoi, we speak about from the standpoint of the Rambam. The Rambam says explicitly, I think in Perek Nun Gimel, in the Megillah Nevuchim, that we cannot speak about a God, but we can speak about God's actions, His physical actions in the world. So if it rains, and that brings the flowers to blossom, we can speak about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's chesed. If there's an earthquake, chas v'shalom, then we can speak about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's din. But we're always speaking about God's actions. So pulasai certainly is something which the Goyim, right, certainly could have gotten from the Rambam. But what about, why did the Goyim use the language of Ritzoinai and Hashkachosai? So it comes like this. Ritzoinai, I already quoted you in the Megillah Nevuchim, in Perek Samech Tes, Perek 69, that the Goyim says, Ritzoinai hu Hashkachosai, hu Atzmusai. In other words, the Rambam identifies the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ritzoin with his Atzmus, with he and of himself. Now, what about Hashkachosai? Well, actually, if you look in Perek Samaches in the Mayan of Uchim, in Chedek Aleph, and you also look in Chedek Gimel, Prokim, Chof, and Chof Aleph, 20 and 21, you'll see that even though the Rambam is not speaking about Hashkocha, but the Rambam speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge of man's actions, there, that follows a discussion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha. The Rambam in Chedek Gimel, Perek Yitzayin, launches on an exposition of the concept of Hashkacha, and the Rambam speaks about that man has totally absolute free will, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will in fact punish a person only if he sins, will reward a person only if he does a mitzvah, does something good. And the going, on the basis of this, the Rambam, on the basis of this, in Perach Chof and Chof Aleph, raises a basic question. If in fact, man, and we see that many times, man appears to be punished not in accordance with his actions. So there the Rambam speaks about God's yediya, his knowledge. And God's knowledge, as the Rambam explicates it, in Prokim Chof and Chof Aleph, God's knowledge is something which is infinite beyond man's capacity and conception to understand. And Lashon of the Rambam there in Chof and Chof Aleph is that Yidiyasai Hu Atzmusai. So, in fact, if we look at the three words that the Goyim uses, Gutsainai, Hashkachasai, which really the Rambam would be a question of Yidiyasai, God's knowledge, because based upon God's Yidiyah, then in fact, actually, he either rewards or punishes man, Upulasai. The three words of the Goyim are really direct towards the Rambam. Namely, Pulasai, of course, the Rambam accepts we have to describe God's actions in the world. The Rambam did not recognize any concept of immanence. And by virtue of that fact, then we can only describe actions of the world. The Rambam understood that if I describe actions, natural events of the world, I'm not giving any name to God. Then we have Hashkachasai, which is Yidiyasai, which for the Rambam, Yediya, God's knowledge was at one with God's essence. And basically what the Goyim has done is he's rendered apart God's knowledge from God's essence. He's taken God's knowledge, which the Rambam identified with God's essence, and made it immanent, his place in the world, created a dimension other than God's essence, which relates to man. That's called Hashkachasai. The first term the Goyim uses is Ratzon. We have the same thing. Namely, it's a question, Rav, from my learning, I recall that the Rambam does bring Rayas to his idea. But do the Arizal, the Ramchal, or the Leshem bring Rayas for their thoughts? First of all, the Rambam does not bring any Rayas for his idea. There, as far as I know, from the 12-15 Prakim in the first Chedek, there's no Rayas. The Rambam was just an absolute monotheist and doesn't bring any Rayas. Regarding the Rambam's Ratzon Hashkacha, he's doing that, as we'll see in a little while, the Rambam has a reason for doing that, because there's a cheshbon. In other words, in order for the Rambam to maintain man's absolute free will, or in order for God to have, Ratzon, that there to be teleology in the world, the Rambam has to identify Ratzon, will, and knowledge with God's essence. There's no rise for the Rambam, that's what he understood God. Now, do the Arizal, Ramchal, Leshem have to bring rise for their thoughts? No, they don't have to bring rise either. I mean, that's the way they thought of things. But we'll speak in Mir Tashem about what's a little bit behind this in another few minutes. In any case, what we have over here is that Gitzainai, Hashkachasim, Pulasai are obviously references to the Meir Nevuchim, in my humble opinion. And what the Goyim is saying is that Gitzainai, Hashkachasai, in addition to Pu'ulas, are in fact now, after the Tzimtzum, after the Gili of the Ari, are not part of God in and of himself, but are rather separate from God relative to man. They become immanenticized. They're more imminent in the world. And that's what the Goyim is saying. And this is what the Goyim says, but Akash Bogos Asmus we don't speak about. Okay? Okay, very good. Now, there's an interesting question which I want to raise. And that question is, what was this shift? What was this shift in the Ari? Somehow, all of the medieval philosophers had one concept of God. Comes the Ari, certainly as interpreted by the Ramchal, and by the Goyim, and by the Leshem, another concept of God. Where did this come from? Now, of course, to go deeply into this, there's a question of how much we can really pursue the matter. But what I want to do is I want to give a little bit of a background. There's a very, very famous Reb Tzadok in Sitkas HaTzadik, in Siman Tzadik, which is a little bit of a guiding light for a lot of my thinking. Rav Tzadik and the quote of Rav Tzadik as follows. HaTorah hi mapat ha'olam. Says Rav Tzadik, the Torah is like a map of the world. Like it says in Bereishis Rabba, he brings Bereishis Rabba. The Bereishis Rabba gives a mashal, gives a metaphor. Shebechol dov ado hi mapat ha'olam, bo'isei do. In other words, Chachmi Yisrael are a type of a map in every generation. This is in accordance as the Reb Tzadik, Kafiyas Chachus, Haman Nefashis B'Yisrael, the new souls that enter the Jewish people in every generation. He says, Kaboshah Nefashis B'Shtanish B'Dolador, just like the souls, the Neshamais, and the Nefashis change in every generation is different Nefashis. Kainat Torah, the Torah also changes. V'hainu Torah Shebi'al Peh, that's the Torah Shebi'al Peh. Shemitzchadish B'chol Dor, Chadoshos Adi Chochmis Yisrael. In other words, the Torah is renewed. It's renewed every generation. You heard that. It's renewed. That's what Tzadik is saying. Adi Chochmis Yisrael. Through the Chochmis Yisrael. Vayedei kol Chadoshos Torah Shebi'al Peh. Yetzi La'or Nefashos Chadoshos B'Yisrael. V'al Piyam Nischachu Gamken Yonam Ba'olam. Ah! He says V'al Piyam. Based upon these Chidushim of Chochmis Yisrael in every generation, Nischadish gamken in yonim ba'olam. The world changes. Mimatzav ha'olam, says Rav Tzadik says, based upon the ischadshus of the nefashos in every generation of the Jewish people, the world has also changed, as Rav Tzadik says. Mimatzav ha'olam, says Rav Tzadik, and from the situation with the world, I want to say yeshiva, where the world is holding, in other words, the intellectual climate of the world, b'chol dor, in every generation, nuchol is boinin al matzav nefashis Yisrael shebedor. Based upon what the world is speaking about, what the contemporary culture and thought or intellectual environment is, we can reflect upon the status of the nefashis of the Jewish people. V'chein al matzav ha-Torah, shebepiyas tamil chachamim hamitiyim, and also on the state of the Torah that's in the mouths of the true Tamil Chachamim in that generation. I have a line under true Tamil Chachamim in every generation. Which means that Rav Tzadik certainly understands, it's clear from this, that there is a clear parallelism and a analogy between where the Jewish, the Hischachus of Torah in every generation, and between the general intellectual climate in the world, in that generation. Now, I would like to explore this a little bit right now. I really cannot go into detail. The Mitzvah Shem next week will go into detail. But what I'd like to bring out, issue is a very interesting thing. We know that the Rambam, in other words, we know that many of the ideas of the Ma'ariv Nevuchim, the Rambam, are taken from Aristotle. The Rambam himself says explicitly in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim that many of his ideas are taken from Aristotle. The Greek concept of the world, of science, was, in fact, to split the world very, very much between what you would call intellects, which were the planets. The Greeks understood that the planets, which moved in a very mathematical motion, were not composed of matter. The Rambam himself says this in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim several times, and also says this, by the way, in the Yad, in Yesod HaTorah, I think it's Perek Beis, Perek Gimel. In other words, the Greeks understood that the intellects were the planets which move in mathematical motion, and the terrestrial world, the physical world, right, was, which is devoid of mathematical motion, was not really in a certain sense with intellect. So the fact is that the Greeks understood that the Rambam says man is created in the image of Mitzalim Elokim because has an intellect. In other words, the Greeks, if they associated anything which was close to divinity, certainly the Rambam in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim speaks several times that the planets do, it's the Rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they praise God. The fact the Rambam even says they have Bechira, they have free will. The Rambam says in the Ma'ariv Nevuchim, in the Chelek Beis. So in other words, there's no question about it, is that the more intellectual, and therefore the apparently more divine aspects of creation are expressed in the celestial part of the world, which is not physical. The physical world, in fact, actually was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but doesn't really express anything which is any divine. And in fact, according to the Rambam, in the case of divine prophets, the Rambam says explicitly in Chelek Gimel, Perek Yizayin, Amar Nevuchim, that in fact, that Hashkach is based upon knowledge, a person's intellect, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu seems to have very, very strong Hashkach on the planets, but on the physical world, the terrestrial world, the Hashkach, in fact, actually is only related to very general things and not specific action items. That's what the Rambam says in the Amar Nevuchim. So, in other words, the intellect, which was very, very much removed from the physical world, that's where the Greeks understood the world, so therefore, there's no doubt that this would correspond to the Rambam's notion of a Kadosh Baruch of God, who's very much incorporeal, other, wholly other than the world, I'm using the expression of Karl Barth, wholly other than the world, and there isn't really any immanence of God because the world, in fact, is devoid of what you would call, you know, mathematical design and perfections, which is somehow associated with divinity. However, it turns out that in the period after the Ari, we have to be a little bit more specific in history, they relived in the 16th century. Beginning in the end of the 16th century and beginning of the 17th century, we have actually the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment actually begins with philosophers like Descartes and Leibniz and Newton. And all of these philosophers saw, in fact, a mathematical structure to the terrestrial world itself. If you read Descartes and certainly Newton and Leibniz, they understood that the terrestrial world too contained mathematical structure, not totally dissimilar than that of the celestial world. I think around that time too, people were over the idea that the planets were devoid of matter, but the planets were matter just like anything else. Certainly Newton thought so because he understood the movement of the planets having to do with gravity, which is impossible as they have mass. So what we have very easily enough in the period of the Enlightenment is that there's an increasing mathematization of physical, of the terrestrial world. And as a result of that, we see, interestingly enough, in many of the Enlightenment philosophers, we have to remember that people like Newton, or people like Descartes, they were from people, they were religious people. They believed very much in God. So what we have, in fact, in Descartes, in Leibniz, and Newton, are concepts of the immanence of God. We see very, very much so that Descartes speaks about the mathematical structure of the world as speaking about the divine aspect of the world. Newton, in fact, actually in a certain sense, in the opposite way, says that the gap between mathematical precision and the world itself is based on the omnipresence of God. And in Leibniz too, his whole theory of monads very much introduces, in fact, what a certain amount of immanence, divine immanence in the physical world. So we see, as science began to understand, to apply mathematics and rigor and more natural law to the physical terrestrial world, since law, reason, were intimately associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God, so in a certain sense, God began to use the language of a certain philosopher, began to acquire a body. And this was actually one of the major episodes, one of the major aspects of the Enlightenment, which is actually in the 17th century. Now, all these people, Newton, Descartes, I think Descartes is the beginning of the 17th century, not to mention Spinoza, who said that all God had was a body, was in the end of the 17th century, and Newton and Leibniz. So it's very interesting is that when is the immanence of God becoming expressed, according to Chachmei Yisrael, in the period in the 16th century directly preceding this intellectual movement of the Enlightenment. So the fact is that Reb Tzadik's words, if we actually apply it to the Ari, right, in fact, are loud and clear. Now, what's interesting is that the Ari in the 16th century precedes Descartes. I'm not sure if there are concepts of immanence before Descartes. I'm not sure about that. That requires a little bit of historical study. I don't imagine that Thierry read Descartes. I mean, he could not have read Descartes, nor Malebranche or any of these people. But the fact is that this dramatic change in Jewish philosophy, which is called, which you'll see me this time, is called the Tzimtzum, which is called the Kabbalah, in fact, comes right before this major upheaval in paradigm in Western science and philosophy, which by definition immanenticizes God in order to take account of the increasing mathematical understanding of the terrestrial world. And this is a very, very important thing that we have to keep in mind. Okay, now, in the remaining few minutes, actually, the fact is that I'd like to actually speak a little bit a little bit more next week, because it's actually a subject matter that requires an important amount of study. Recommended reading for next week, as well as War Marmakarmis, which in Mitzvah I will submit to the proper authorities here. But I would like to recommend a book by Amos Funkenstein, The Theology and the Scientific Imagination, which is by Princeton University Press, 1986. And there he has several chapters on the increasing omnipresence of God, corporeality and presence, which is Lightman ushers in. I'm here showing you the book. Okay? And then also, too, I would like to speak about Descartes, because there are certain actually interesting aspects of his philosophy which are relevant for the Gros too. A good thing to look is the Cambridge Companion to Descartes, which is written by several experts, so if I'm making a mistake, don't blame me. And there's actually a very good essay here of the idea of God in the proofs of existence, which is chapter number 6 by Jean-Marie Bessade. I think that's the what we want to speak about. And we'll see actually that this interesting dichotomy between God in and of himself and God who relates to the world creates certain paradoxes, according to this author, and Stieglitz, contradictions in Descartes' philosophy. But we see that in the Ramchal, in the Leshen, but of course in the Gaon, right? He doesn't see this at all as being a dichotomy, a stira, in any other way. Which leads me to suggest, I'd like to throw out an interesting question, is that in fact, actually, what is the conception of the Gaon? Does the Gaon really understand that the dichotomy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a little bit like a wave-particle duality, where in fact, actually, there's an irreducible dichotomy and that's it? It's a very modern concept. Or are we saying, in fact, that perhaps, to quote Gadamer, that the meaning of an idea is a history, is its history of its interpretation? Meaning that, in fact, the concept here is, in fact, building upon, historically, that Kadosh Baruch Hu in of himself, that the medieval concept of Kadosh Baruch Hu, like the Leshem says, before the Tzimtzum. And on top of that, we speak about after the Tzimtzum, an interesting historicist interpretive understanding of the Gaon. That means something I will address to myself next week. Okay, now I'm going to, Binyamin, how are you doing? There's a question by Benjamin. The Rav said earlier that Chachm Yisrael of Ishtor is an expression of thoughts of that time. But now it seems the Chachm Yisrael, I don't want to speak about now. There will be 24 lectures. Maybe at the end of the 24th lecture, I will speak about now. I will only speak about what happened in the past. In fact, I will limit myself to from before 200 years ago. Okay? Are there any more questions? I think I was asked to stop for 5 minutes before the end of the Shia. We've actually accomplished actually 3 lines, which is actually quite an accomplishment, because actually I don't think we'll be going more than 2-3 lines every time. Are there any questions that anyone would like to pose? No more questions? There's a question here, Benjamin Milch, but I think I answered the question. Oh, yeah.
I think I'm pulling out of glasses. Huh.
That's it, no more questions. It wasn't controversial enough. We had to encourage more questions. Oh boy. Shalvet Moshe, what happened? What question? What happened? Now that's Benjamin's. Shalvet Moshe's question, it doesn't come out. What, I don't know what it means, what happened. What happened with the Ari? That I can't answer. The Ari doesn't reveal the secrets to us. But the fact is that we see an interesting change in world history.
We don't know why. And that changes across all of the Jewish.
That's right, yeah.
Thinking of.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we'll sign off. What do we say? Good afternoon, America. Good morning, Jerusalem. What is the expression?
One more question.
One more question? Mm-hmm. I want to thank the producer here, the technician. Your name is once again?
Libby.
What?
Libby.
Libby Banzer. For bringing all the questions here. Something's coming in, or?
We're supposed to be just
no more questions? Okay, very good. Okay, so I think we'll stop things here. And in Mirtz Hashem, we will continue with line 5 in the Gor. We will speak about what the Gor understands to be the purpose of man in the world, and I think I will probably submit more amount of Mekomis and Mitzvahs for next time. Okay, we'll stop over here. Everybody should have a good Tavach and a successful week.